like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my children, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Good morning, everyone. Today is the first Sabbath of our week of prayer. And the title of our week of prayer this week is called Heavenly Mission of Hope. Heavenly Mission of Hope. Please keep your books. Please bring them back next week because we don't have extras. No, I'm not going to be here next week. My cousin's getting married on Friday. But I know who all have a book. I will write a list up here for Pastor Crespo next week. We don't have extra books, okay? We do have a few, but I'm going to try to keep them for new people to come in. I'll probably give something to Annette for next week for Sabbath school just in case extra people come, okay? Let's open up to page number 3, Heavenly Mission of Hope. How many people this year have been going through the Morning Watch? I'm going to date myself at an event here. The Morning Watch book or the devotional book for the year. Anyone received the 2009 book? The whole 2009 has been an encyclopedia on the history of the Adventist Church. It started from the Millerite movement, and it comes all the way down to the 21st century. Well, the mission of the Adventist Church is spreading the gospel, the good news of salvation. Our church is a result of that type of mission. Amen? We were started as a church plant. People sharing the gospel, people wanting to come across the river, as one were to say, to start a church over here in Troy again. So let's read this. This is called Christ's Mission is Our Mission, Heavenly Mission of Hope. And this is by Jane Paulson. Jane Paulson is our executive president, worldwide president of the Adventist Church. The church is a complex entity organized by the Spirit of the Lord for mission. A vibrant church is not one immersed in doctrinal or theological discussion that results in tension and divisiveness. The church that is fully alive is a church committed to and involved in the mission of the Lord. In fact, it could be stated boldly that the church actualizes itself in the performance of its mission. Its mission defines it. Mission is a divine program initiated by God and revealed to us in His Son, whom He sent to this world. We will look into the mission of the Son of God and its implication for our mission as a church. God sent the Son. The sending of the Son was a cosmic event based upon a divine decision made before God, the creation of the world. Mission was in place before there was an actual need for it. Then at the proper moment within human history, the Father sent the Son, born of the woman, Galatians 4:4. Jesus was fully aware that His presence in this world was not an historical accident, but a purposive action. He knew why He was on this planet. There was a particular reason for His life. This sense of mission gave meaning to His life. The sending of the Son implied an element of separation. It is not that the Father was no longer with them. No, no, Jesus testified, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone," John 8:29. In the fulfillment of the mission, Father and Son worked together, but their togetherness expressed itself in a different way. It was necessary for Jesus to become a human, settling aside the glory of His divinity. But this type of separation necessary for the mission pointed at the same time to a full reunion. The sender and the sent would be reunited. In fact, Jesus prayed for that return. "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." 17:5. He said to the disciples, "I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who has sent me." 7:33. Once the mission was accomplished, He returned to the Father. The return was through the cross. The mission of the Son consisted in giving His life for others. Hence, His mission was not to deliver a message that was unrelated to Him. He was in His own person the message God sent to us. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:10. The messenger incarnated the message and delivered it through His death. He came to us, saved us, to give us eternal life. John 3:16. He was sent by the Father into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9. He proclaimed salvation by giving it out of His own life. His mission and His person was inseparable. In that self-sacrificial act, He revealed the loving character of the Father. God was sent to reveal the glory to God to a humanity immersed in the darkness of sin and ignorance. He said to the Father, "I have revealed you." John 17:6. He knew what His mission was, and He was able to tell the Father, "I have done what I was sent to do," the Apostle John says. "The Word became flesh. He has seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." He testifies of the fact that Jesus accomplished this mission. The mission of Jesus was a display of the true character of God in the context of a ferocious cosmic battle. But the revelation of God that He brought to us was a revelation of His own person. Only God can reveal the fullness of His character. John testifies, No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. In the person of God, God became the missionary par excellence. He, Jesus, was the great missionary the world ever saw. Medical ministry, page 15. Jesus revealed the Father in his person, but he also embodied the revelation in human words. There is a body of teaching that Jesus shared with humans, the teaching of Jesus. His teaching was not his own, but it came from him who sent him. His commitment to his mission was so determinative that he said, "I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." The message he proclaimed was given to him by the Father, and he was not free to change it or modify it as he pleased. This is important. Jesus, as a messenger, was commissioned by the Father to represent him and to speak for him. This indicates that the messenger is not only willing to fulfill the mission entrusted to them, but at the same time they are obedient to the one who sent them. It was clear to Jesus that he came to do the will of him who sent him and finish his work. In the realization of this mission, Jesus did not seek to please himself, but him who sent him. And he did exactly that. Shortly before going up to the cross, Jesus said to the Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And he then added, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." The vision is not finished. It continues through those whom Jesus now is sending into the world. His mission is the model for their mission. We have been told that the true missionary spirit is the spirit of Christ. The world's Redeemer was the great model missionary. Testimony of the Church, Volume 5, page 385. Let us reflect on how to apply that to our lives. I have sent them. Our existence finds a particular dimension of meaning in the fulfillment of the mission Jesus entrusted to us. When he says to you, "I have sent you," he's redefining your existence, or at least the very reason for it. In a world of existential disorientation, humans experience a deep sense of emptiness as they search for reasons for their presence in it. Then we hear the Lord say to us, "I've sent you. There's a reason for your presence on this planet. You should never think that your presence here is accidental. We were born into the world for a mission, and everything we do should be oriented by this sense of mission. By calling us to mission, Jesus enriches our lives in glorious and wonderful ways, providing a sense of purpose. The mission entrusted to us is Jesus' redemptive work, and is significant for us and for the human race. The message to be proclaimed is the one embodied in the person of the words of Jesus, preserved for us in the Holy Scriptures. We have no right to alter that message, because it is not ours to do with it as we please. The message and mission oriented in God were given to us through Jesus. We must fulfill our mission in humble submission to the message as we proclaim it. We deliver it to the world, his message, not ours. Obviously, we should develop ways of proclaiming it that are attractive to the society in which we live. But it is not our duty to alter the message itself. In order for that mission to be effective, his message should become our message. By that I mean that it has to be a transforming power in our lives. Just before sending us on our mission, Jesus said to the Father, "Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth." The message of Jesus is to be appropriated by an individual as a community of believers. We are called to reveal the glory of the power of God in our lives as we constantly move forward in fulfillment of that mission of hope. It has been God's intention that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities of the heavenly realm, according to this eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The mystery of the saving power of the cross continues to be unfolded in the experience of the church. Thus it witnesses to the cosmos the goodness, the power, and the love of God. Every life possessed by the saving power of the cross becomes a cosmic witness to the manifold wisdom of God and his transforming power. By calling us to participate in his mission, Jesus was announcing his departure. After his return to the Father, the time gap was to be fulfilled by a mission of hope to the human race. He was not abandoning the church. No. He promised his disciples, as representatives of his church, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:20. By his presence among us, find expression through the Spirit. He did not send only us. He sent the Spirit to enable us to fulfill the mission of hope. The fulfillment of the mission means that separation will come to an end, that the moment we will be able to say we have brought you glory by completing the work you have given us to do. We are not yet there. The last mile is still ahead of us, but we will continue to fly over the earth, proclaiming with a loud voice the eternal gospel of salvation to every human being, calling all to fear God and to worship the Creator. This is indeed a mission of hope, and we must continue to press together to fulfill it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the unity of the fellowship of the Spirit that the mission will be accomplished. It is this unity of love that our Savior and with other believers that facilitates the mission of hope to the world. At the close of human history, Jesus was called and sent all of us to go and to work in the vineyard. Listen then, listen once more to his prayer on our behalf. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. John 17:18-19. I'd like to read the first paragraph again as we go into our discussion. First paragraph. Turn back to page 3. This is very important as a church and as Adventists. The church is a complex entity organized by the Spirit of the Lord for mission. A vibrant church is not one immersed in doctrinal and theological discussions that result in tension and divisiveness. The church that is fully alive is the church committed to and involved in the mission of the Lord. It could be stated boldly that the church actualizes itself in the performance of that mission. Its mission defines it. Mission is a divine program initiated by God and revealed to us in his Son, whom he sent to this world. We will look into the mission of the Son of God and its implication for our church, implication for our mission as a church. This description of God's church, of God's remnant church, this description of the reason why Jesus Christ was sent here to this earth, I think is very complete. He was not sent here by chance. He did not arrive as an accident. He arrived at the appointed time. The appointed time and place to deliver us, humanity, and to be our Savior and Lord. There are three questions here that we have. Three questions. I'm going to read them in your hearing. And then we're going to divide up into two or three groups here in our congregation. I want you to discuss these questions. And then we're going to share them with each other. These are the three questions. How can modern men and women gain a sense of purpose for their lives? How can modern men and women gain a sense of purpose for their lives? Question number one. Question number two. Is every Christian called to be a missionary? Is every Christian called to be a missionary? Please explain your answer. And question number three. In what ways is our mission one of hope? In what ways is our mission one of hope? Thank you, God, that Jesus is coming. We ask you, dear God, to please bless us as we begin our week of prayer, as we begin this chance and opportunity for renewal. Bless all of those who came and all those who desire to come. Bless us with safe traveling mercies, and bless us to have a prayerful, divine communion with God this week. Help us to come out every evening at 7 o'clock. Help us to read and recommit our lives to reading your word. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.